Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We're getting very, very close to Christmas. And the O Antiphon, remember, pray these throughout the day. Each day, pray these. In the book containing the O Antiphons, the one for today is this: O King of the Nations and Their Desire. You know, God is what we really desire. We've given it all kinds of names and we've reduced it to earthly values, but the greatest desire in our heart will never be satisfied apart from God. We were made for union with God. And as St. Augustine said over and over again, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. We try to fill that, as I've said many times on this program, we try to fill that emptiness with so many things. It is the place where the Lord is to be central. Invite him to that place in your heart. Give him access to the center of your life. O King of the nations and their desire, the cornerstone who binds two into one, come and save mankind whom you fashioned from clay. The Lord wants to unite us to himself. Will you give him access to your life, at the very deepest part of your life, your will? Will you give him access? Don't go through Christmas. Don't go through the holidays without making the surrender real, brothers and sisters. Please. Otherwise, you're just going through motions. What the Christ child looks for is a heart that is surrendered to him. That's the greatest gift you could give the Christ child. A heart fully surrendered. The first reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 24 to 28. This is Hannah, who was barren for many years and who prayed and prayed and prayed. And she was praying so hard that the high priest in the temple, remember this, it's earlier in scripture, but the high priest thought that she was drunk and he admonished her for being in the temple and being drunk. And so she went. She laughed and I'm sure felt terrible. But look at what happened in the years to come. She had a son. His name was Samuel. And so she comes back to the temple to render thanks. And in those days, Hannah brought Samuel with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and presented him at the temple of the Lord in Shiloh. After the boy's father had sacrificed the young bull, Hannah, his mother, approached Eli, that's the high priest, and said, "Pardon, my lord. As you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood near you here praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted my request. And now look at her generosity. Now I, in turn, give him, Samuel, the child, I give him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be dedicated to the Lord." And she left Samuel there. That's no light gift, brothers and sisters. That was her very heart. That's unusual. God doesn't ask that of everybody. But all she asked was that her prayer be answered, and God did. And she raised him to a certain age, and then came to the temple that he might serve the Lord in the temple. She gave him back. How generous are we with God? My heart exults in the Lord my Savior. The bows of the mighty are broken while the tottering gird on strength. The well-fed hire themselves out for bread while the hungry batten on spoil. The barren wife bears 7 sons while the mother of many languishes. The Lord puts to death and gives life. He casts down to the nether world and he raises up again. The Lord makes poor, he makes rich, he humbles, he so exalts. He does all these things. My heart exalts in the Lord. I have swallowed up my enemies. When you're fully given over to the Lord, it's really true. There's a certain sense that that's true because your enemies don't have power over you the way they used to. I have swallowed up my enemies. They just don't. Because you have a different set of goals and priorities, and you have a depth of relationship with God that changes everything. That's what full surrender does. And the gospel, again, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, this time verses 46 to 56. This is after Elizabeth exclaims, "Behold, the mother of my Lord is here." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed." She's not speaking out of pride. Her total surrender to the Lord. The Lord has made promises to her. She's just exulting in the Lord's kindness and generosity. "The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his children forever." That's one of the most beautiful hymns of worship and thanksgiving and praise that we have. Words uttered by Mary, often referred to as the Magnificat. She magnifies the Lord, magnifies what God has done. She sees herself as simple and lowly. And because she genuinely saw herself that way, because she was fed on the scriptures, and she had a right spirit before the Lord could use her, and she could fully surrender to him. Now, you and I have more obstacles because we're sinful. But brothers and sisters, God's grace is not limited. The only thing he's limited by is unrepented sin. But repented sin is gone. God can work through your yes, your willingness to humble yourself. God can work through that. And then it says, quite simply, Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. She remained to help Elizabeth until the birth of John the Baptist. Elizabeth would have needed help. Mary was there, simply serving, quiet. But can you imagine what was going on in her heart? Can you imagine what it was like? I'm going to be the mother of the Savior. I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah. Can you imagine? But what did she do? She didn't say, "Oh, I'm wonderful. I have been chosen. I am this. I am that." No, she humbled herself. And she quietly served for 3 months and then returned home to many questions. Can imagine the turmoil that could have been in her heart when she returned and her pregnancy would be so evident. Joseph, her parents, all that would come. And yet she just simply did what God asked her to do. She stayed and she cared for Elizabeth until the child was born. Brothers and sisters, these are not just stories out of the past. What's going on in this Gospel of Luke that we just read affects our history eternally, today. But many people never read it, never see it, never think of it. God is far from their thoughts. Any relationship to God doesn't even make sense. How are we going to reach those people with the good news? With the good news of our salvation, with what Christ did for us, the incredible generosity to take on flesh, to be born like us, to be like us in all things but sin. Look at Mary's yes. Look at Elizabeth's yes. Look at it. They didn't know all that it was going to produce. We don't know. But our yes, day by day to God, our yes can make an eternal difference. Sometimes it can make an eternal difference on the face of the earth. Many times it can make an eternal difference in the life of a person. You can contribute to the salvation of others by your own faith, by your willingness to listen, by your service, by not focusing on you but caring for others. God wants to work through you. Brothers and sisters, there's a call on all of us as we prepare for this Christmas. And again, I know that I can sound like a broken record, but I want to say again, please, please don't let this Christmas pass by without making a definitive decision in terms of your own surrender to the will of God. And secondly, your willingness to be used by God to reach others. I just had a friend of mine who said that he was in a taxi cab and there was a Muslim driver, and the driver was very angry and very upset by what America was doing to his country in the Middle East, and he was just angry and frustrated. And finally, my friend got what I think was a beautiful, beautiful gift from God. He leaned up and he said to this man, "I am Catholic, and I'm sorry for what you're going through." But he said, "You have a great love for Mary, don't you?" And he said the man's whole countenance changed. And he said, "Yes, yes, I do." And he went on to extol Mary. All his anger left him, and he went on to extol Mary. And my friend, as he was getting out of the cab, just leaned up and said to him, "And I too have a great love for Mary. May we honor her. May we love her." And he got out of the car. There was an inroad made in that moment. We don't know the effects, but there was an inroad. How ready would you be if someone spoke to you of a different faith and was really angry? What would you do? This brother of ours had wisdom, had insight from God. Mary, they love Mary, and rightly so, they love her. Perhaps it is that Mary will lead them to her son. We can make a pathway, brothers and sisters, by our prayer, by our kind speech when we have an opportunity, especially in these very busy days right now before Christmas, when everybody's a little rattled and a little harassed, a little upset. Think of what you can bring into these situations, just as Mary and Elizabeth did for each other, just as they did for so many others. You and I have that same call on our lives. So as we wait for the coming of the Messiah this Christmas, as we wait for the King of the nations to come, let us ask God to use us that many others may know him too. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.